mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus sent the 12 disciples out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Our Lord wants these disciples to get some experience under their belt. He wants them to experience proclaiming the gospel. He's given them signs so that the people will know that they are men from God. And he's given them a rather specific message. They're almost ready. I know how they felt. Jesus had just one more thing to teach them before they left to go out proclaiming the gospel. He wants them to know what sort of response they're going to receive. He wants them to know what's going to hit them when they do proclaim the gospel of the Lord. He tells them what to expect, but it seems totally wrong. It doesn't make any sense. Jesus warned the disciples with words like, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake." That doesn't seem right, does it? To help you understand why this seems so wrong, let's take a few moments here and to imagine a few other scenarios of extreme needs. Imagine a hurricane hitting the coast. It's got a path of several miles wide and the destruction is great. So a team shows up with a number of trucks and they're carrying food, shelter, water, clothing, and things like that. The victims of the storm would have nothing but thanks and gracious kindness and all blessings for these people who have come to help them in their greatest need. The news media would broadcast from that area of destruction and praise the work of the rescuers. That's what you would expect, wouldn't you? Now here's a historical example. You know, up until the middle of the 20th century, many diseases that we now take in stride, they meant death for people. You know, an ear infection would mean you'd go deaf. Pneumonia, that was fatal. Surgeons, they could operate on you successfully and take care of you. But then you're going to die from the infection that they cause. Then Alexander Fleming, this guy, discovered penicillin. Two other men named Chain and Florey, they read about Fleming's work and they developed ways to mass produce penicillin and do it rather cheaply too. So in 1945, all three of those men were awarded the Nobel Prize for Physiology and Medicine. So once again, we see that the world honored them for their great achievement. Now, you probably know of many other wonderful examples of serious problems that were solved by dedicated teams of people. You can also relate how people responded in gratitude to these solutions. You'd expect people to be grateful, wouldn't you? You'd expect people to be grateful when someone has a problem and someone else solves it for them. Now consider the problem that Jesus solves, okay? The order of baptism in our hymnal says, "We are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own." lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. Yeah. Did you hear what the problem is in those words? Did you hear it? Lost forever. And that lost forever means an eternity in hell. This is the most serious problem of humanity. Jesus is the solution to the problem of eternal punishment. He's the Savior of all mankind. He's the very Son of God who took humanity into himself so he could take our place and earn salvation for us. He lived a perfect life and suffered the eternal punishment we deserved upon a cross for us. In this way, he paid the dreadful price of sin so that we could have salvation for free. No charge. Not just cheap, but free. Then he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. Now he offers his salvation to all people by the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Now when you hear this, okay, many of you will realize that Jesus makes us aware of our greatest problem, and he provides the greatest solution for free. Just like we read in our psalm and sung in the last hymn, he will raise you up on eagle's wings. You would think, wouldn't you? You would think that the entire world would be so thankful for that. That's what you would think. The reality is just the opposite, really. And this hatred doesn't make any sense to us. After all, we're telling people that Christ has already purchased their salvation for them with his death upon the cross. We're telling other people that he gives this salvation to them for free. F-R-E-E, free. We're telling them that Christ has purchased a gift that's worth more than anything else, and he's giving it away. As a matter of fact, the proclamation of this gift tends to make people angry. And this just doesn't make any sense. Now, if Jesus had not given us the words in today's gospel, sharing the good news of salvation would be a very confusing activity for us. It'd be easy to think that we're doing something wrong when people don't eagerly desire this gift when we tell them all about it. It'd be easy to think that we're doing something wrong when people actually fought against us and tried to destroy us. And all we want to do is tell them about a gift that's more valuable than all the riches in the whole world. You would think that people would pack this building, there'd be a line out the door, it'd go around the block, and there would be people fighting and shoving to get in here to hear it. You'd think. But instead, they persecute me and you. Why? Well, there's something fundamentally different about the proclamation of salvation in Jesus Christ. There's a spiritual war going on around us. Even while we're proclaiming the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, you see, sin, death, and the devil are fighting a war of lies against that decree. They're doing everything within their power to make the real truth look like a lie, and they're making lies look like the truth. Although sin, death, and the devil want to enslave us, they present themselves as a sort of way to freedom. Although true freedom is in Christ Jesus, the forces of evil proclaim Christ as being restrictive and domineering. The forces of sin, death, and the devil, they're the ultimate con artists. They pose as maybe your friends, but they're really deadly enemies. Even with the knowledge that God understands, he understands the trouble that we have. He understands the temptations that we're presented with, but he also understands the persecution he places upon us. Even though he understands, it's still hard to stand firm in the face of criticism, isn't it? The temptation is always there for us to compromise God's teaching in order for you to just get along with the world. If the world gets offended because the Bible says that we are all sinners, well, we might be tempted to water it down about this message of sin, perhaps even skip it altogether. If the world is offended by the gruesome matter of what took place upon the cross, we might want to push that cruel torture and all that pain, you know, push that into the background. We don't need to talk about that. It's easy to talk about God's love, isn't it? It's real easy to talk about the wonderful grace of God. But what about the justice that God pours out? It's easy to talk about Jesus as our, oh, maybe as our buddy. Yeah, Jesus is good. Jesus is great. But what about the part where his word, God's word, says he's coming back? And he's coming back to judge. He's going to judge the living and the dead. We often want to water down the message of God's word, you know, just a little bit, so that the world around us won't give us such a hard time. Jesus warns about this attitude, and it's very dangerous. He said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." The worst thing that this world can do to us is to end our physical life. That's the worst that they can do. And that's not a lot. But this world is not all there is. There's a judge who has the power and the authority to send both body and soul to the eternal punishment of hell. It's his teachings that we're watering down when we compromise our confession in order to fare better in this world. It's his name that we are blaspheming when we slide even just a little bit to the doctrines of this world. So you have to stand firm in the faith, even in the face of the world's persecution. Have you? Have you stood firm in the faith, even amidst all the persecution? Neither have I. I have to confess that in spite of my desire to remain faithful to the teachings of God's holy word, I too regularly compromise my profession of faith. I slide. And once again, the law convicts with a standard of perfection that's so high. You have to be perfect. I told the kids in catechism camp, if you have ever in your life uttered one foul word, heaven is out of reach. It's unattainable. And I know that you have done more than that. I have. So once again, the law convicts with a standard of perfection that's so high, no mere human could ever keep it. That's the reason the gospel is so sweet of a message to those who believe. The gospel proclaims that Jesus is the only one who ever, never, ever compromised the will of God. He's the only one who remained faithful to his calling. He remained faithful to his calling even when his calling led to torture, to suffering, and ultimately to be nailed upon the cross. He's the one who paid for our sins, even our sins of watered-down doctrine. With his death on the cross, he faced not only the persecution of this world, but he also faced the combined guilt of all the sin in this world. Even then, he remained faithful. With his victory, he won with his death upon the cross. He has purchased the forgiveness of sins for all people. In spite of our many shortcomings, in spite of our fears, in spite of our desire just to get along with everybody in this world at the expense of Christ's teachings, the Holy Spirit will continue to keep us in the faith. Just as the apostles endured to the end by the power of the Holy Spirit will one day bring us to a blessed end here on this earth, only to take us to blessed eternity there in heaven. There we shall wait with all the other believers in Christ until that last day when Jesus will return and raise all the dead, and all who believe in him will live forever with him on a new earth in the new heavens, where there is no sin, no sorrow, no tears, and no persecution. For we shall live in that place forever with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.